down is expensive, so I gotta cut costs somewhere. So I'm getting my other stuff from Winco. I know people are like, don't shop at Winco, only shop local, but I went to the farmer's market, so I'm hitting both avenues.
The farmer's market cancels out all the other stuff. Like, you mm-hmm. you're doing your part going to a farmer's market.
Right. And if they had shelf shit, then I'd probably go there for everything. But since they don't, it's Winco I go.
Do you do eggs?
I do eggs every once in a while if I need it. Like, we're very, like, I'll plan out my whole week as far as, like, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a snacker, and I snack hardcore. And if I don't have breakfast, I get sick. If I don't have lunch, I get angry. And if I don't have dinner, then I better substitute that for alcohol or shit's going to go left. So.
Right on.
So I'm always all like, what are we having for breakfast? So I buy all the shit for that, and what are we having for lunch? Buy all the shit for that, so I can make it, so I don't have to go anywhere.
Cool. You want to introduce yourself really quick?
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
No, I should do that, but I want you to do it. Go for it.
Okay, my name is Felonious. That is T-H-E. I know people are like, is that what a P? Like, no, it's just because I'm a nigga and, you know, fucking Ebonics, so...
Ebonics, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
Are you old enough to remember when Ebonics was a thing?
I'm definitely old enough to know about Ebonics.
Wow. Okay.
I'm old enough to know about Audi 5000. Remember when people were saying that shit?
Peace, Audi 5000.
Like, I'm Audi 5000. The kids these days wouldn't know that. Like,
no, they would like Wikipedia that so quick.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm getting old enough to the point to where I'm dating myself, and I'm just like, oh God. Like, when I'm talking to other young ladies, and they're talking about all this busting and cap and shit, and I'm just all like,
no cap. What?
No cap. No, I don't get that.
I mean I get it now, but like, mm-hmm. I was like, no cap. I was like, I don't know. I'm wearing a cap. I don't know.
I love it. And then I love the emojis when you say something and someone sends you back a hat emoji, like cap, like, ah.
Oh, I haven't got that.
You haven't got that? Yeah. It's hilarious.
See, all my friends are old. I don't get the lingo in the text in the.
Mm-hmm.
I get the misspelled words because everyone's using like voice text. I'm like, what?
Oh yeah. I feel like it's so funny. I always talk about my mom, and like, she's always trying to be young and shit, and it's all like, stop trying to be young, Janice. Fucking act your age. And then I'm doing the same shit by saying bussing and cap.
I do be slipping in the new lingo here now
yeah,
and then.
I feel old.
But I'm going to try not to let it like slip into my act. I don't know if it has yet, but anyway, how you been, man?
I've been okay. These last 2 months, like, I've had shows and stuff, but at the same time, I've been kind of like chilling and getting back to my roots, I would say, just like hanging out with homies and doing shit and drinking more.
Well, I think you got to, because you can't hang out with comics 24/7.
Oh yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. It gets a little too much and overwhelming. And then sometimes I feel like when you hang out with comics consistently, like, the other side of you, your authentic side, gets pushed back because you're on, right? So you got to have that stage side that's out, you know. But man, sometimes I be slipping, because I'd be all like, man, put that stage shit behind you, like.
yeah, well, because, like, I mean, you want to talk about your life experiences on stage, and if you're just hanging out with a bunch of comics, then you're just talking about weed, cigarettes, dicks,
like, yeah, and then, like, jokes, and they're like, oh, that's a joke, are you gonna use that, because I'm gonna use that. Yeah, like, goddamn,
that killed in front of Henry's, that killed. But on stage, that didn't carry over too well.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think there's always that caveat where it's like, I still want to be myself, which I do try to be my authentic self all the time. But at the same time, I care about myself, so I'm always a little guarded too, because you don't know what energies are around you.
Have you always cared about yourself this much? Is this something new?
No. Well... I think I started caring a little bit more about myself like this year versus previous years. Before, definitely didn't care about myself. I was all like, I could toss this whole life away.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I've been trying to work on my mental health and, you know, introducing more self-care and self-love into my everyday routine.
Has that carried over into your bits?
I think so. I think you could tell now, like, before I was very anxious to be on stage and stuff, and super nervous, because it's one thing to be funny with your homeboys, you know what I mean? And you're laughing and kicking it. But then when you're on stage and you're trying to like make people laugh, I feel like there's this added pressure to, you know, be funny, be, you know, some kind of entertainer on stage or some shit. But
yeah, I think, yeah, I get it. And because when you're on stage, it's also not so much about like making people laugh, it's like making people connect and relate with you.
Right.
Like
right,
someone once said that like the first thing you need to do on stage is like get the audience to recognize that you're one of them. Like mm-hmm. we're one and the same. I'm just up here. And what I'm going to tell the stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think, do you think, because me looking at Thelonious, and like we're not the best of friends, but we know each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what's up? You, after the pandemic, you did seem like a completely different person than mm-hmm. before the pandemic. Did you feel that getting up on stage after pandemic? Did you feel like it was a different?
Yeah, I definitely felt that. Especially because like before the pandemic, like I felt like I was a little scatterbrained too, because I was trying to get married. Then I just started doing comedy, and I was doing comedy. I would go to Vince's, and then I would also go to High Water, R.I.P.
It's now
Polka House.
I wanted to talk about High Water.
Yeah. And yeah. I used to do What the Fuck Wednesdays there when Mars Parker was hosting it. And that's how I got, you know, how I met Mars. And he was all like, you need to get in this group, I need to see you out here doing it. And I was all like, oh, okay. I didn't know it was that serious. Cause I was kind of trying it out at first. A lot of people don't know this, but the reason I got into comedy is that I have a family who is hella fucking funny. Like all the niggas in my family, hilarious. They're so funny. And like, I had an uncle who was really funny. My mom has two brothers, and the oldest brother, he was kind of like, we called him Mr. Handyman, Mr. Fix-It, because my mom was a single mom. So anytime she needed something fixed, he'd be there. He'd work on our cars. He'd put on ceiling fans. He helped us move, all types of shit. And he was hilarious, and people loved my uncle. And so when he was younger, I think in the 90s, somebody from the industry like approached him and was like, hey, have you ever, you're really funny, man. Have you ever thought about making a career out of it? And he was just like, nah, like I just like hanging out and kicking it. And like, I've always respected my uncle for that, because I feel like the same, like I just like hanging out and kicking it. Mm-hmm. But then he got cancer, for the second time, and it did eventually, take him. And so right before he passed, I was like, hey, I'm going to try out comedy for us and see if I like it. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I didn't know if I was going to like comedy. I was very nervous to be on stage. It's like, damn, like I'm funny around my friends, but am I funny on stage? It's two different conflicts, I guess, mental conflicts. But, yeah, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was just hopping right in the fuck into it and just hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. And like getting to meet like all you guys and getting to be put on game and like how the circuit is run. I thought you guys were gonna be so mean to me. I thought you guys were gonna be awful to me, but everybody's been so nice and welcoming. And I'm just like, man, I've for the first time ever after the pandemic and coming back and doing comedy with you guys, was like, man, okay, this is my path. This is where I'm meant to be. So let me hang on a little bit longer.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned Vince's and High Water, because both of those places, like Vince's is very welcoming, like comic wise, like all the comics that hang out there are like, what's up? There's fucking pizza.
Right.
You know, but and like High Water, like Mars worked those crowds into frenzies. And that was like the ultimate, like, I think like baseball players and athletes talk about getting to play like at Wrigley Field or at Dodger Stadium or at Yankee Stadium. You know, they talk about stuff like that. But I think like for brand new comics, like getting to go up at High Water and mm-hmm. getting that kind of reception and having that kind of producer there, like Mars, who would, I remember the first time I went to High Water, my friend says, no, I'll ask mom.
We're trying to learn about the name Yaks. I didn't know that there was another, like there was other people, other white people out here with that last name.
Yeah, they're she knows what all the, oh, she knows, oh, she's just giving me more detail about how her mom knows everything.
Shit.
Where was I going? So, and then to get to go into a stage that was that inviting, like that was awesome, you know, because I have the same fond memories of High Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I miss High Water so bad. But Poker House isn't bad. I'm a still promote. Their food is good. They got cute drinks. It's all like, you know, South Korean Seoul looking. I think that's how you pronounce the city. I don't know.
oh, Seoul. Not yeah, like
yeah.
Seoul.
Yeah, not like Seoul, not but like Seoul. Like Seoul, you know, with the E.
I want to go back a little bit when you were talking about your family. I always tell people, like, you know, like when we're just sitting around clowning with, like, not comics, but like normies, with normies.
Normies.
They always say, you're so funny. And I'm like, I'm not even the funniest one in my family. Is that the same case for you?
You know what? I feel like I'm not the funniest one in my family. I feel like I'm the black sheep because, like, everybody is all like, oh, here come this weird nigga again. Like, and I feel like now as a comic, now that I fully feel like a comic, like now I can go back and say, like, I could compete with you niggas. I'm funny too. You know what I mean? But yeah, my family's been super supportive. They were like, yeah, somebody had to do it, so we're glad it's you.
they were either Hungarian or Polish.
Hungarian or Polish. That's so weird.
Yeah.
So
you're not related.
So no, we're not related.
So you don't have a farm.
We don't have a farm, which is unfortunate because I love to garden and grow things. So yeah. That's sad.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
You won't be exploiting
farm
workers.
We wouldn't have been family, no way. They would have been white as hell.
They were. They were blonde hair, blue eye. I remember the daughter. okay. Vince's, I have it written right here. Like, it's your first note.
Oh, what is it?
Nerd.
Okay, nerd. Yeah.
What's up with that? You're a movie nerd. You rolled up bumping some music into this lovely, quiet neighborhood. I heard you. What the
I
hell
wondered
were you
if
playing?
You heard me.
What were you playing?
So what was I listening to? It was Nagy Gimme, aka Negative Gemini. I fucking love music. I'm such a music head. I don't listen to country notes. Don't send that shit to me because it will absolutely make me rage. But I fucking love music. And sometimes I'll go from like some rave techno shit. Like that's kind of what I've been listening to right now, and some like dark wave goth shit. But most of the time it's like metal, hardcore metal, progressive, some thrash. I love thrash, black metal. Just all the metals, pretty much all the metals.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm about it.
I don't get too deep into metal. I'm a very basic metal head, like Black Sabbath, Metallica.
Okay.
Like the hits, you know, I love
Randy. I'm glad you call that metal, because I had a conversation with somebody who listens to screamo, and they were trying to tell me like Metallica and Iron Maiden's not really metal anymore, that they're just rock. And I was all like, those niggas walked so we could run in mosh. Shut the fuck up. This is the stupidest conversation. It enraged me because I'm a big Iron Maiden fan. But I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I don't even remember. I love Randy Rhoads era.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ozzy. That's the shit to me. Like, good. I'm a Guitar Gods kind of guy. Like, I love all the great guitarists. And I think Randy Rhoads was the GOAT. But also, we have such a small window of Randy Rhoads. Like, we didn't get to see, like, Randy Rhoads. Like, you know, like, for a minute in the 80s, there was, like, this Randy Rhoads, Eddie Van Halen, like, rivalry. Like, who's better, right?
Right. And people are still having those conversations
because, I'm like, okay, it was Eddie, but we don't know. Because maybe if we'd have had Randy for, like, you know, 15, 20 more years, we would have seen him evolve.
Right.
Or maybe he would have turned out to be a douchebag. Maybe he would have said like something horrible or like got caught.
Right.
Like
could have been racist. Yeah. Like a lot of them are.
Yeah. Well,
that's the worst part too, being black and liking an artist and then finding out they're all like, fuck you niggers. And I'm just like, god damn, I just bought that album. I just bought that album.
Give
I can't
me back
take it
my
back.
15 cents of royalties.
Yeah. Fuck.
But you're a big movie nerd.
I am a big movie nerd. I love movies. I collect a lot of movies too. So
what are you collecting them on? DVD, VHS, Blu-ray?
DVD, because DVD is now the new VHS, and we'll still have DVD players for at least another, 15, 20 years before it moves on to the next thing.
I go buy one at the Goodwill every time I want one, like for like $8.
Mm-hmm. $8, that's kind of steep. For what?
For a DVD player.
Oh, a DVD player. I thought you were saying a DVD. I was like, that's kind of steep.
No, that would have to be something really good to spend $8. Let me ask you this. What's the last DVD you bought, and what's a DVD, or what's a DVD you've been searching for and you can't find?
Okay. That last question is easier. But the last handful of movies, I'll say the last... that was like months ago. I think I went over here to the Cave and I grabbed a couple of things, but they don't have a great movie selection. They got great things as far as like records and clothing and trinkets and collectibles, but movies not so great. But there is another place close to the Cave. It's called Stoic Records, and they have a pretty good selection of not only records but some movies. And like, I swear to God, it's on... what is it? I think it's Fulton. I think it might be Fulton, in like close to Arden Way. And I swear to God, if you go down that street and blink, you'll fucking miss it. It's wedged in between the Carceria that's over there, and I think there's like some kind of like Mediterranean market.
This is my neighborhood, and I've never heard of that place.
Yeah, like it's...
I mean, I've heard of the Cave. Yeah, I go to the Cave maybe once a month just to wander around.
Mm-hmm.
You get lost in there.
Yeah, you do. And I think what I picked up from there was some like smaller B movie titles that I don't own, like Ghost Ship, and some like B movie horror movies that I found. Usually that's what I'm buying, is horror movies, or I'm buying like really specialized movies. Like the movie I'm looking for is actually called Dogtooth.
Heard of it.
Yes, Dogtooth. It's a Greek movie. I got to watch it on IFC some years ago, like maybe 8-9 years ago, and that shit turned me out. And basically it's about this family who has like 4 kids, but you only get to see 3. And there's this whole story about the oldest sibling who escaped, and he got bit by a cat or something, a hit with a dog tooth or whatever, and he disappeared. But basically these parents are like over sheltering their kids, and they put them through like all these fucked up things, and they tell them things that are wrong, like cats are bad, they're monsters, so stay away, and then like flowers are zombies, you're not supposed to touch them, shit like that.
Uh-huh.
But there's a great scene in there where there's a lady, this poor fortunate lady, who is a coworker of the dad, and he pays her to do things. I'm not going to tell you the movie, but he beats her ass with a VHS.
What? With the VHS?
He takes the VHS and he whoops her ass with it. And it's like one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's movies like that. It's fucked up movies. I always say fucked up movies because they deal with sometimes triggering themes. Like sometimes I'll try to tell people like, hey, this is going to have a lot of triggering themes in it, so just beware. Like, the last movie I bought was Kids. Have you ever heard of that movie? Yeah, so that's the last movie I bought. If you don't know about Kids...
Have you seen Kids before you bought it? Or had you read about it and you're like,
I had read about it and I saw clips of it because I'm a big Chloe Savini fan.
Yes.
So I was all like, this is on my list, but after seeing Gummo, I didn't know if I wanted to see Kids because I heard Kids was like on a different level from Gummo, and I was just like, damn, I want to see it. So of course I bought it, and then I watched it, and I was like, I can see why it's triggering, because in the first like 5 minutes you just get white inner city New York kids just saying nigger the whole time, and it's like,
Well, yeah, well, that was the 90s.
Yeah, right? that was the 90s.
Not that it was right, but it was like...
That's what it was. Yeah. And then just like, you know, the whole topic of like kids and having sex and being unprotected, and then just like the whole thing with like HIV and AIDS and stuff. Like,
yeah, Rosario Man. Dawson was in that.
She was in that.
Rosario Dawson. And Chloe Sevigny was also in Eyes Wide Shut, right? Chloe Sevigny.
Was she in Eyes Wide Shut?
Was she?
She probably was. She probably was a side character of, like, you know, the cult or whatever, the rich cult that
wasn't
was there.
Wasn't she the daughter?
I don't know. I'll have to look that back.
Because look that up, too.
As I only watched that movie twice because I was like, okay, what's the wow factor? You know, it's fucking Nicole Kidman. It's Tom Cruise. They're married. You know, what's all this about? So I did watch that. And I mean, it was okay, but I didn't really like it, to be honest. I didn't think it was great.
I just rewatched it because I listened to a podcast about it. Uh-huh. And they were just talking about all this stuff, and I was like, what, that happened, and it's about this? And maybe I
should go back and watch it.
I rewatched it. She's not listed sweet. In the main, so maybe it wasn't her.
Yeah, did they say who the daughter was? Because maybe it was somebody close.
Oh, Lili Sabisky. Mm. Milich's daughter.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Let's move on from that. Mm-hmm. So movies, you love them.
I love them. That's my thing. Like, sometimes I'll go to the Bay and I'll go to like Rasputin's and Amoeba's, and I'll just like, I'll get there early in the day as soon as they open. I got my fucking headphones charged. I got my phones charged. That's the only time my phone will ever be charged. Let me just say that. my phone is always dying. It's probably on what?
8%.
It's probably on 8% right now. I tried to charge it. 21%.
That's
yes.
not bad.
That's not bad. That's gonna get me the whole day too.
Yeah.
But I'll just play music and I'm scouring through movies, just looking for stuff that I have a list that I'm looking for, and then sometimes I check the porno section because you find some cool stuff over there.
Are you just looking for wacky, bizarre titles, or are you looking for genres, or like Ron Jeremy, Nikki Dial, Christy Canyon?
I'm always looking for wacky titles or parody porn. Parody porn is fun. or I'm like, let's see. Sometimes I'm looking for like certain directors, or I'm looking for certain styles. Like, I'm a big John Waters fan. So if that makes sense, yeah, then it's like,
then
okay.
That's the flavor you're...
Yeah,
we really shouldn't say flavor in porn, huh?
I guess
can we get flavor porn?
I guess you could say
it'll
that.
It'll be a flavor.
There's lots of flavors if you ask porn stars.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
There's a new Ron Jeremy documentary out. I kind of want to watch it, but it's on some channel I don't have.
Oh, is it on Paramount? Because it feels like Paramount has everything now.
They have all the good stuff.
They do. And it's starting to like make me sick that all these other studios are like, we're going to start our own streaming app. Stop it. Can we go back to fucking cable? Because now it's getting crazy, because I'm not going to subscribe to all these fucking studios.
Well, that's why you got to share logins.
That's right.
Like,
I think
I pay for like two, and then I bought, like, I don't pay for my Netflix. I pay for Hulu and Paramount, and then everything else is like borrowed. And like, hope I never get logged out.
Well, you might have to get a Netflix account soon, because they're trying to...
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, they're trying to crack down on people and find people for sharing their shit. So
that's some bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too, especially because it's all like, we supported you when you had to send us DVDs in the mail, bro.
Right?
There was no streaming.
Yeah, we waited for that.
I had to wait like days for a movie to come, and then I had to send it back before I got hit with a late fee. Remember when it came in that little like paper slip too, as if it was... Yeah. Safe. It's all like the DVDs all scratched up and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I remember that shit. Do you still go to the movies? Like the theater?
I do.
What's your favorite local theater?
My favorite local theater is the one next to my house, which is Doco, because I don't like to go far. But other than that, like, if I really want to go see like a movie, I go to Tower. Tower is kind of my place, especially because my other favorite director, Wes Anderson, his movies get played there a lot. So
did you like Asteroid City?
I haven't seen it yet.
That was Wes Anderson, right?
Yes, it was. And it's on my list of things to see. I've just been so busy with life and comedy, so I haven't had a chance. I was just telling a friend, like, man, I'm trying to take a break so I can watch shit. So I'm finishing up this one show right now. So
show?
It's Love and Death on HBO Max.
I haven't seen
Elizabeth Olsen, who's a third Olsen sister, and she's the best one because she ain't on drugs.
Oh, I think I started to watch that thinking she was one of the Olsens, but I was like, that's not one of the Olsens.
She is. She's one of the Olsens. And she still got the Olsen look left.
When did she break into cinema or
she's been doing it for she's always been doing it for a while, because now I'm like looking back at stuff that I've watched and I was like, oh shit, she was in there and I didn't know. But I didn't know who she was until she started to break out in the Marvel movies as the Scarlet Witch. So and like I was like, oh, I love that character, of course. So and once she appeared with like her brother, you know, what's his name, Silver Streaker, Quicksilver, I think that's his name. But yeah, once they started to break out, that's when I was all like, damn.
So are you still on board with all the superhero movies?
I am, but I'm a DC fan. So, and it's hard right now being a DC fan. It is so hard. And I really,
because they've just been serving up some bombs, right? So,
let's get into it.
Okay. So, sorry, I struck a nerve.
So, yes and no. We've had some good films, right? We've had good films, but we also had some fucking shitty bomby ones. And we're just not on the same page as Marvel. And like people are all like, well, DC's trying to be like Marvel. And I'm all like, well, yeah, of course they're trying to create their own world. And like, if a movie doesn't do well, then you have to fucking start all over when you're trying to create your own branch of a universe. And people don't realize that, you know, Marvel wasn't doing well until they paired with Disney and all that money that they were able to receive. And they have all these crazy animators at Disney. Mm. So they were always going to have the bigger advantage as far as their films, because the production value for Disney in general is insane. They've never produced anything wacky. I don't know. Some people will probably debate me who are like big Disney nerds, but
oh, they live for that shit.
They do live for that shit. I know some Disney people and, you know, I love them, but sometimes I don't get it. The only time I get it is when Marvel's involved, because they've been doing really good things. And I kind of like what Disney is doing now with some of the branch off characters and making shows like
Mandalorian
was good. Fucking
You're talking more in the superhero
universe. Still okay, I'm still it. Talking yeah. about what's the Winter Soldier Winter Soldier show with what's his name, Hawk. I don't know, I can't remember, but that was good. I did like that show. And then She-Hulk was really good, and I'm a big She-Hulk fan, and I really feel like the girl that they casted to play her was really awesome, and I felt like she really embodied She-Hulk. And then they put my girl Megan Thee Stallion in there, so I was like, well, this is the shit. But in the movies, are their order is insane. Like, it's great. And I know that they have, like, what, a few movies that are coming out this year. But I think next year or 2025, Marvel's about to gear up and hit us up again with that shit. And I want that for DC. But there's just so many issues going on with DC, and it's just like production value, fucking who owns what, people are dropping out. Now they're fucking like letting go all the old actors who were playing in like all the last movies, and they're trying to reboot it again. Yeah. Yes. They're trying to reboot it again, which means another Batman reboot origin story. I'm so tired of origin stories. That dude who's playing The Flash right now, that crazy guy, I forgot his name because I'd be trying to forget him now. It makes me so sad because he is really doing Barry Allen injustice. DC joke right there.
I'm not real educated on the DC Marvel worlds, right? Like, I watched the big ones. But who are the Russo brothers associated with, those directors?
The Russo brothers.
Hold on. I've just heard that they've been given the Battle of the Planets.
Yeah.
Do you remember that cartoon, Battle of the Planets?
No.
It was in America it was G-Force, but like worldwide it was Battle of the Planets, and they're going to take on that project.
Mm. Oh my God, they're born. One of the brothers was born February 3rd. That's like a day after my birthday. That's amazing. Okay, so they did. Okay, they did Marvel movies.
Okay,
That's why.
So that's why you don't fuck with them, or that's why they don't pop into your head.
Yeah, and then all the Avengers and the Captain America movies. The Captain America movies were okay, but he's not my favorite.
Right on.
I mean, the guy who plays him, that ass, that is America's ass. It really is.
It is. Whew. It is.
He's so fine.
Yeah.
When his Gemini self.
He's a Gemini?
He is.
What are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay.
Air sign, gang gang.
What do you think? Let's talk about the local comedy scene. I right now am blown away by the amount of talented girls in the local comedy scene. What do you think about that? Are you noticing that?
Oh yeah, I think the girls are really fucking doing it, and I love girl power. I'm a Spice Girls fan, so I just I'm also impressed too, because some of the things that these girls are like doing, like breaking molds and just being out there and not afraid to be themselves, it's really empowering as a woman, because I feel like as women, like we have to confine ourselves, or we feel conditioned to confine ourselves in these like certain boxes and make sure we checked all that shit off before we step out on stage. But it's cool to see like all these girls just be in their raw element and just be like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and not to be so cliche about it, but like to do it for themselves, like you right. said, like you know, used to checking all the boxes and making sure they fit in, but like girls like going up on stage and just being their authentic self and fucking being funny.
Yes, you yes.
Because like at the end of the day, like we see all kinds of like authentic males like go up right. on stage and be themselves, and like that wasn't funny, bro. You know,
right?
But like these girls are getting up on stage and they're fucking killing it, and I'm so excited for it. Like that's what really like I'd wanted to bring the podcast back for so long,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what to do with it. Like, do I want to do like this or do I want to do this? And then it got to the point where like I started going to open mics, you know, not a lot, not consistently, but I was going to enough open mics that I was like, oh, she's really good. Oh my gosh, she's so funny. Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, she's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, she's so, and I was like, I want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Like this is the new batch that I want to talk to. And then that's when I sent that message a couple of weeks ago. Look, I felt bad because I forgot to include Ray Dean on that.
Oh yes, definitely get Ray Dean on here.
No, she's next Saturday.
Oh, Ray Dean okay, will be good. Here
next Saturday. Well, Ray Dean is next on the schedule after you, and then Jess Harding is on the schedule.
I love them.
Tess is on the schedule, mm-hmm. and
Tessie.
Yeah, and then I think Robert Berry is going to be the first. Man. Non yeah
okay
that and then Robert Berry and then Parker Newman.
I love Parker.
Okay.
I love his curls, they be popping.
Did you ever get to enjoy Froed Out Parker?
No, but I've seen photos.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been able to know Froed Parker.
Yeah there's a great video of him like just smashing that punchline, like I think like from 2018 2019
mm-hmm.
and it's Froed Parker and he's just destroying. And here's the other funny thing, I don't know how many podcasts in a row this makes now that Parker Newman is brought up. And and I saw him last night and I was like, Parker, he's like, I heard it.
We love you, Parker.
And I was like, I think you listen now just to see if we're gonna talk about you.
Yeah,
but yeah, Parker gets brought up in every episode. I don't know how.
He's a great topic.
He is. He's.
I can talk about him all day.
He's genuine and he's funny. Yeah, right. He's funny. Yeah. But just like and I think. Well, let's stop talking about Parker. Let's talk about the girls. They're great, right?
The girls are amazing.
Do you kind of feel like you're like one of the elders when in the girl group,
because
you've been doing it like all of these other faces, like I am seeing them post pandemic. You were around pre pandemic.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because a lot of people still think I'm a new comic because they started to really see my face like after the pandemic.
Well, and you changed your name.
Yeah.
Like your stage, right?
Yeah. I changed my name a little bit too, cause I was trying to figure out if I wanted to like branch out as Jasmine, which is my real name for those of you who want to know. But there's too many fucking Jasmines out here. So I just go by Felonious still. But, and you know, some people still ask me like, well, what do you prefer? It's like, well, you can call me Jasmine off stage, Felonious on stage.
What was the joke you used to have about, oh, please tell me this was you, about the fight in your front yard? And you're like,
oh yeah.
Do you want some Kool-Aid?
When somebody got their ass totally whooped on my lawn in Oak Park. That was interesting as fuck, because I swear to God, like, I'll go somewhere and some weird shit happens and I'm just all like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I here for this? But yeah, I was just all like, do you guys want some water? I didn't know what else to say. Well, I mean, this man is like, so to kind of preference, I was going out to meet some friends and I lived in a duplex, and this duplex, my front door was on the side of the house. So you had to go through the lawn, go through a gate to get to my front door. So I didn't want to do that to get to my car that was in the driveway. So I would go through the kitchen, through the driveway, through the garage to get to the driveway to get to my car. And so I had just kissed my husband. I told him I'll see him later. We roll up the fucking garage door. And I see this man getting his ass whooped by another man. And there's a lady who's yelling at the man who's getting his ass whooped. And like, they stop because they see me and my husband. And we're just like looking at them. They're looking at us. This man's like coughing blood. You can hear the blood and like moisture in his nose and his like him trying to breathe. Like he's wheezing and shit. And like the guy gets off the other dude. And I hear this lady go, I'm so sorry that you got your ass whooped, but my husband had to show you what's up. I was just like, oh, shit. Do you guys want some water? Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to offer this man a blanket so he can sleep on my lawn. No. But yeah, that shit was crazy. And then the fight went down the street and the cops got called. The ambulance was there. And then the guy's like teenage son got out of the car to help the dad, and they're fighting. And they had two other kids in the car who were crying, and they got out the car. And I was all like, it was a whole big thing. And me and my husband are just standing there, and I'm just all like, Nicholas, call the landlords. Tell them what's going on. And then like, you know, I'm like trying to help these little kids. I'm like, are you okay? Are you scared? I'm scared too. Do you want some water? But yeah, it was a whole big mess. And then I'd stay there and take a statement and shit. I was pissed. Yeah.
This neighborhood, I've gotten home before and like couldn't get to my driveway because like cop cars were, and like,
oh yeah, I bet.
And like cops are like, what do you want here? And I'm like, I live right there.
Like, what are you doing?
I live right there. So like, this is, sorry, move the car, let him in.
So like, this is my house.
Yeah, well, that's my dog right there in the window.
Yeah. What's the craziest thing you've seen on the street?
On this street, one of the neighbors one time was one of the lighter skinned neighbors one time was out in his front yard drunk, repeatedly saying the N-word, saying that, and I was like, someone's gonna beat this dude up real soon.
Yeah.
But other than that, not to just like your random domestic dispute. Mm. I've never seen anything too crazy.
Tell him, go get
crazy.
My coffee, bitch.
Yeah,
bam.
I told you.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you again with the fist.
Yeah.
Gerald, don't do it.
Nothing too crazy. A lot more like I've heard a lot more like, you don't want to fight me, you don't want to, but like not a fight ever really happening.
Yeah, usually just, the people who say that you don't want to fight me are the people who don't fight.
Yeah, just the chest puffing, you know. Yeah. And then cops getting called because of that, but yeah. Nothing too crazy in this neighborhood. But
I couldn't be no police officer in Sacramento. These niggas get way too wild. And I would hate to be called out on some bullshit like, y'all gonna fight or what? Like, might as well, since I'm here. Give me something to do to break this shit up. I can only imagine the bullshit calls that they get in Sacramento, because people be on bullshit here. Hella hard.
Did you grow up here?
Pretty much, but kind of not. So I grew up in Merced. I'm from Merced. Okay. Originally. Born and raised, 209, baby. And no, it's not the fucking Bay Area. I hate when I tell people I'm from Merced and they're all like, is that the Bay Area? No, bitch, it's the Central fucking Valley. And Merced, to just kind of like give you an idea what it was like living there, it's like if the hood and the country met and had a baby. And then those babies had more babies together. Yeah, it's a little inbred, not really. But yeah, so I grew up there. So I grew up with like just hella ghetto shit, country ghetto shit.
Okay.
And then like my mom, who was like a single mother, she's like, there's no good jobs out here. So we left, and I already had another uncle who lived up here, and I had some cousins who lived up here too, because there was just more opportunities and more jobs. So then we ended up moving out here when I turned about 15, about to go on 16.
That's a rough age to relocate.
Yes, and I did not want to leave. I wanted to stay in my ghetto ass little town. I had just started sophomore year. Started
making real friends, like those are right. Like the friends that you got in trouble with. Those are the,
and
you know,
those were friends that I've had since elementary school.
Yeah,
like I grew up with the same people, elementary, middle school, and high school, and now I was missing out. Like we had just did like our homecoming dance, like the sophomores just did their homecoming dance, and we were able to do Mac Dre. They let us do the Thizzle dance on the fucking field of Merced. That's fucking some Merced high shit. Yes, and like I remember we would have DJs and they were not playing radio edits, they were playing the real shit, and people were dance battling, twerking, all types of shit. Like it was a vibe. And then having to move up here, we moved to Elk Grove first, which was the biggest culture shock ever. And my mom was all like super happy because we're living in the suburbs. We've got a nice house. I'm going to this cool school or whatever. That's a performance school. And like, because my grades weren't great and I came from like a school where I had 7-8 classes a day. And then you come up here, the kids were on a 4-block schedule. So they're only taking 4 classes a day, but they're in those classes for like 1.5 to 2 hours.
Ooh.
So I'm in the same class for like 2 hours, the same assholes each period. And I'm just like, this is fucking awful. And like Simple Plan or some kind of low, like punk pop band came and like played on the school grounds, and everybody was like, woo, woo. And I'm just like, who the fuck are these people? And then this kid like killed himself on my birthday. I was like, I'm ready to leave.
What the fuck?
The suburbs are way too wild. And like, I, and then after that, we moved again and like we moved in another part of Elk Grove where I had to start going to Laguna Creek High School.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my junior year. And when I started that junior year, I had just missed the Columbine incident that they had there. And I was like, oh shit, is this like gang territory? Who owns this block? And they're like, no.
Wait, what incident did they have there?
They had like, this kid was gonna come shoot up the fucking school.
Oh, they stopped it.
Yeah, it like somebody ratted this kid out right before he did it. And the police like seized his house, and he had
everything.
He had guns, a manifesto or some shit, and it was gonna be like a couple of kids I think that were gonna like shoot up the school, and I had just missed that shit by a semester.
Wow.
Yes.
I hadn't heard about that.
And like when I first got there, I was all like, oh, is this gang related? They're like, no, these kids just hate the school. And I would like tell all my ghetto friends, I'm all like, man, the suburbs up here is something different, man. These kids over here, they just be shooting a shoot.
For nothing.
Because they hate the school. They're like, it's not gang related. I was like, I ain't seen no gangs up here. There's no Norteños. There's no Sorreños. There's nothing. So yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I fucking hated it. But then I met some like cool ass misfits friends, and like they were really into rock and roll, and I started branching out at that point. Like I kind of was already into it before because my dad would listen.
The look she just gave you.
I know. She's all like, I want to come sit on you. I was like, I know, baby, but if I give you an inch, you're going to take a mile. Oh, she looks like my pup, but my pup's bad.
Oh, she's spoiled. I mean, she's not bad. She's just spoiled.
How old is she?
She's 5.
What a good age.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's still
pretty active, and she's still,
yeah,
you know, she can still jump places. Like, I don't know.
Is she mixed with Roddy or something?
I don't know what Shepherd? She is.
She kind of looks like my dog, but I think he's mixed with either Corgi or Wiener.
So there's a friend of mine's gonna get me another one, and they are Chihuahua mixed with Corgi.
Oh really?
So I'm kinda looking forward to it. She's gonna have a little sister soon.
Yay. She's not gonna like it.
No, yeah, she gets along. The neighbors have a little dog.
Uh-huh.
And they play. They get along really good, yeah.
Okay, good. But this is gonna be a puppy though, right?
Well, this is a puppy too.
Oh, this is a puppy too? Okay, good, 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 good.
So I'm wondering if like if her like big sister instincts are gonna kick in or if her mommy instincts are gonna kick in.
Probably mommy.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. What did you do anything in high school? Like, were you did you like do band, drama?
Improv? I did kind of do a little bit of drama, but I kind of did like the stagecraft shit because I love to paint and I love to create stuff. And I like to be a little more structured and like be behind the scenes and be all like, we're going to put this backdrop up. We're going to have these lights hit this. You know, I kind of like that aspect of like theater. And that's why I wanted to do film. And I've kind of been going like back and forth doing school for that. Cause I do want to direct one day, but it's just a time factor.
Lexi was talking about that's what she wants to do.
Yeah, she's amazing. That girl, like when I think about all the things that Lexi is going to do, and I say going to do because that girl is just so imaginative. She's so creative as an artist. Like, I just love her shit so much. I know she's going to be really amazing. Uh-huh.
I've sat next to her in class the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And she's for, like, her notes are just, like, just endless. And she had tags for everybody.
Yes, yes.
And she's paying attention. And she's, like, an overachiever.
Yeah.
I told her that yesterday. That was like the first note on my like
she's
my
a scholar.
My Lexi notes. Lady. The first note was overachiever. And I got to hang out with her yesterday. So she did the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then we hung out for about an hour or so after the podcast. And then she was I went to Stab theater last night early and I mm-hmm. caught No Boys Allowed. She fucking destroyed. She had a 10-minute set. And she just fucking destroyed. And then she stayed after and did Dear Abby. And that was fun because Lourdes had to fill in for Nicole last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So Lourdes and I hosted Dear Abby, and we had Thelonious and Sarah Ellsworth on it. Because like
Thelonious.
Thelonious. Lexi and Sarah Ellsworth on it. Mm-hmm. I just made sure I could say your name right.
Yeah, thanks.
I was practicing your name. We had Lexi and Sarah on, and they were hilarious. But Lexi was just dropping some gems all night long.
Yeah,
and just
she
had
is
us
a gem.
Stitches.
She's a gem.
Yeah. I messaged her this morning and told her thanks. I thought she was hilarious.
Yeah, but she's going places. That's the one to really look out for. Like Lexi, she going places. I have no doubt she's gonna be big time, no time.
Yeah, and she's so young. She's only like 21.
Yeah, and it's the perfect age because she has so much creativity. Like, she's such an artist. Like, it's insane. Like, we were over here talking about Parker Newman. Let's talk about Lexi. Okay.
Let's talk about Lexi.
She's about to blow up. I really love her. I love seeing her journey.
She's so nice.
She is. Very sweet.
Yeah. And a good deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Strong voice.
Strong.
Strong.
I want her to bring the ukulele back.
What? She plays the ukulele?
Yeah, she does. And she has a song and I love it. And I want her to do more ukulele stuff. But somebody told her, good thing that she put it back because it's kind of gimmicky. And whoever said that shit, go fuck yourself sideways.
Yeah, just
stupid.
Worry
bitch.
About your own act.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right. I think you could give tags and tell people a good job, but like don't try to restructure someone's act.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm whoa. She didn't make it.
She didn't make it. Sometimes you win some. Sometimes you lose some. That's what I tell myself.
She's a good girl.
She is a good girl.
Now she's going to try to jump on you.
I know.
Hey, are you ready for 5 easy questions?
Okay. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this part of the podcast.
Sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you this question really quick. Friend of the podcast, Amy Thompson.
Oh, Amy.
Is getting ready to produce a comedy show called Dress to Kill.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get on there.
What do you, how much consider, and you know, when she broke down Dress to Kill for me, mm-hmm. like, I was like, that's so interesting. That's such a great idea. How much thought do you give into your appearance and persona on stage? Like, at a show, open mics are different, right? Because we mm-hmm. just show up, we go mm-hmm. up, we leave. Stage, how much are you thinking about your outfit?
I assume people think that I think a lot into it because I'm always like wearing like different stuff or whatever. I really feel like I don't put too much thought into it. It just takes me forever to get ready.
Why does it take you forever if you're not giving a lot of thought?
Because, like, I'm like, okay.
How many times do you change your shirt before? Or your outfit? Or your shoes?
It really depends. Like, if it's a show, I already have something in mind, like, beforehand. But the only time I'm changing at that point is because I'm having an outfit, like, malfunction. And so I'm just like, oh shit, this is not working out like I thought it was gonna work out, so I gotta scrounge up and get something else. Most of the time, like, for open mics though, like, I'd be trying to go bummy.
Oh yeah, that's open mics.
Yeah. And then sometimes if I get a shower early enough and I'm able to do my face, then yeah. But my face card be looking great.
have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction at a show?
No, thank God.
I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a green room and
actually no,
and heard a girl walk in frantically. Does anybody have a safety pin?
Actually, no. I just had an outfit malfunction.
Oh, you did?
Well, yes.
Tell us about it.
So I did Heather Rogue's Comedy Yacht.
Yes.
On Friday.
Uh-huh.
She asked me to last minute, like, would I love to be on there? And I was like, man, I don't have anything going on. Of course, let's go. And so the outfit I had wore to a music festival earlier this year. And it was fine then, but I don't know what happened if I just dried it too much, but the top part is kind of a crop and it, like, cropped a little too much, so I felt like my tits were hanging out, but I was just, like, super stiff on stage. Like,
you felt like the bottoms were getting air.
Yes. And like the top would rise up and you can kind of see, like, my bra or whatever, and I was like, fuck, man. So I'm just gonna have to stand hella stiffed on stage. And, like, right before they called me, I was like pulling my, like, crop down, and then I was just all, like, moving hella stiff back and forth.
Comedy Yacht Club gets kind of crazy.
It does. It was actually really fun, though.
No, it's fun. I love Heather Rogue. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask about that. Okay, so here we go. Let's talk 5 easy questions.
Okay.
With Thelonious. Where do I have these at? Hold on. I got to find
them. She finally made her way back in my lap.
She
did.
She made it. She said,
you ain't going to stop me, girl. The way you scrubbing me, look how she looking. I know. I get that look all the time for the doggos.
Doggies
love me.
Who or what inspires you?
Inspires me, like, just in comedy or just in
life? Like, it could be comedy. It could be, like, just what motivates. Like, yes.
Wonder Woman motivates really? Me. She's,
what era Wonder Woman?
Every era of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Mainly more so, like...
Because there was an old TV series, right?
Yeah, Linda Carter,
right, mm-hmm. Okay.
But, and I mean, she's great. She's always going to be a focal point. But I do appreciate Wonder Woman before the 52 release comics came out.
Okay.
The new 52. That previous Wonder Woman, because she had a lot of, like... Like, you could tell that whoever wrote Wonder Woman's character was in their 30s, and they were, like, going through this, like, existential, like, introspective thing, because there's sometimes Wonder Woman will have some bangers as far as, like, about life and handling, like, certain emotions, and you're just like, fuck, man, like, that's so enlightening. Like, yes, that's how I should be looking at things. I can't remember what universe that was. Because I smoke too much weed. But Wonder Woman always fucking, I don't know, she always inspires me. And I really love Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman too, because she's also kind of embodying that type of Wonder Woman. Like, some of the things that she talks about when you watch, like, Wonder Woman 1 and the second one, like, especially the second one, I felt like the second one was very so much, like, about, you know, loving who you are, stop trying to, you know, have all these things, because at the end of the day, like, you being greedy isn't, when you have everything you ever wanted, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Doesn't it feel empty to just have things but not to have, like, beautiful memories attached to them or other like feelings, you know? If that makes sense.
All right, Wonder Woman. I love it.
Was like the worst answer ever. Can I try that again?
No, that was a great answer. No do-overs.
Okay, no do-overs.
No do-overs.
God damn it. Ooh.
I mean, is there someone else that inspires you, but you're not going to do it over? Like, you can add an addition to.
Every time I'm feeling depressed or I'm in a certain like sad mood, like I'll go back and read like an old Wonder Woman comic or something and just get some insight and wisdom, and I'll be all like, oh my God, I want to tear up. Because
do you have comics, like stacks of comics, or are you reading them online?
Oh, we have stacks of comics. I don't like the whole digital reading. It's annoying. I do some audiobooks, but I only do them for like biographical books because it's just easier. You know, I'd rather hear that person's voice tell me their story versus me reading it. But I do like to read a lot of fiction books. And
okay,
right now, like usually what I do is there's not a new book that I'm reading. I go back and read other stuff that I've read. Like I'm a big Shakespeare fan. A lot of people probably don't know that, but I'll read Shakespeare repeatedly. And Edgar Allan Poe, like I have a big ass book of all his like writings and all of Shakespeare's writings. And sometimes I'll just go back and I'll just reread plays that are my favorite.
What's your favorite Shakespeare play?
So my favorite one is Midsummer's Night Dream. That's always so good. Twelfth Night is really good. And then what's the one where dude is washed up on the shore? Hold on. They did the movie about it and it was really good. Hold on. I don't know why I can't think right now. Damn. You know what? I had thought about this podcast and shit and I was all like, oh, I got this in the bag. I'm going to know what everything I say. But no. Hold on. Romeo and Juliet's all right. You know what? I didn't think The Tempest.
Okay.
Tempest. That one is hella good. That one's hella good. And then Much Ado About Nothing. I'm gonna move that one up and make that second because that is hilarious.
Did you like the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet movie with Leo and?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
I always like movies like that where it's like a reimagining of a story. Yeah. And that one's always going to be a classic for me.
It's great. And I love it.
Even the original one with what's her name, Olivia Hussey.
Okay.
If anybody is like a horror fan, you would probably know her from the original Black Christmas.
Mm.
But she's a beautiful actress and she did a great job as Juliet. The guy who played Romeo, forget him because you get to see. Yeah. And you get to see Olivia Hussey's tits.
We got to see that in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember me too. That? Yeah, that's crazy. What are you currently binging? It could be a book, a series. What are you just gobbling up right now? Just like, can't get enough of this.
I'm not binging anything else besides astrology and tarot reading.
Ooh, what got you into that? Have you always kind of been into it and then you like ran across a book? Or like did a certain incident make you be like, no, this shit's real?
I've always been into it because my mom was kind of into astrology when I was younger, but she, like, I don't know. There's a running joke with me and my friends that I'm psychic.
Oh, no.
Because sometimes I be knowing shit, and, like, sometimes I'm able to pick shit out, and, like, my friends are all like, bitch, how did you know? I wasn't trying to say it. And it's all like, I know. You weren't trying to say it. That's why I said it.
Uh-huh.
Because I be knowing. Like, there's a really good friend of mine who lives in Oregon, and when she moved there, she had got pregnant, and she had just found out she was pregnant, and like something was telling me to call her, and I called her and I was like, hey girl, I'm just checking in on you. And she was all like, bitch, I just found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
I was all like, oh shit. She was like, yeah, bitch. I was all like, something told me to call you. And she's like, fuck.
Yeah. The energies were telling you to reach out.
Yeah.
I get it.
So sometimes I be knowing stuff without knowing. Uh-huh. And like, and I feel like it kind of adds on to making me a little weird too in social situations. Cause like, I feel like I feel the energies, like I'm super sensitive to the people around me. So I'm just all like, sometimes you'll see me like, I'm spaced out and I'll just walk away. But I've always kind of been into it, and it scared me for a long time because I was raised in church for a lot of my life.
Ooh.
So when you're raised that way to be religious, you know, you start to see things like that, like tarot and psychic shit being like demonic and evil.
It's dark. Yeah.
Right. It's dark or whatever, but like all things, nothing is truly pure. Like even Christianity and religion, like you'll always have people who are going to use that for their own dark advantages. You know what I mean? Whereas people are using it for good. And like, I respect if you have a religion or something that you care about or something that you believe, I respect all people's belief systems as long as it doesn't have to pertain to, you know.
And don't try to recruit me.
Yeah. Don't try to recruit me or pedophilia or sexism, homophobia. I'm not down with that shit. But I try to respect everyone's belief system. And then when you're trying to force things and tell me that this is wrong, and I don't feel like it's wrong, and something else is telling me that it's not wrong, then, you know, whatever. I'm gonna do my own thing. And so I kind of just like fell off from the whole like Christianity thing because it just felt forced. And it felt like it was trying to just put me in this box and what I should expect out of life. And those weren't the things that I was expecting. But yeah, I don't know. But somehow I fell into spirituality this way. And I feel like it's been helping me. It's been helping with my like mental health a whole lot.
Dope.
Like, I know people are like, oh, talk about the crystals and the sage and shit. But that shit, for me, I feel like it helps and it works. And I believe in it.
It calms me.
And that's my thing. And I kind of wanted to get into tarot because it's all like, I be knowing shit. But how can I communicate with like my ancestors and other spirits and, you know, really talk to them or whatever? And so I don't know, I just kind of fell into that path. So
okay, interesting. Okay, cool stuff. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? I know people have been waiting for this for a long time because they want to strike fear in my heart. Zombies.
Really?
I am definitely afraid of zombies, but that fear is getting better because I am starting to watch zombie shit more. Like, there used to be a time where I didn't watch zombie shit. If you were dressing up as a zombie for Halloween, I do not want to be around you. I used to take the day off from work so I didn't have to be around people dressed up as undead people. Even if I saw like a clip of The Walking Dead, like I would go to the trash and throw up. It was that bad.
What do you think triggered that?
I know what triggered it because it has something to do with my granny. Like I'm very close to my grandmother and I call myself a granny's girl because fuck everybody else. If my granny says do it, I'm gonna do it. Uh-huh. Like it's just because like I'm super close. I was at my granny's house like all my life, like because when my mom had to work, she had to put me somewhere as a kid. Yep. So I would be there with my grandparents and I spent a lot of time there and I was really close to my grandfather. And I had a dream when I was a kid that I was at my granny's old house back in Atwater, which is right next to Merced. It's a tinier town than Merced. And I remember I was like floating and I can see my mom walking to the living room, right? And I'm like, Mom, don't go over there. There's a zombie. And she's all like, I don't give a fuck about no zombie. And she goes into the living room and a zombie gets her. And I'm like, oh God, I lost my mama. And then my granny is like, I'm gonna go into the hallway. And I'm like, Granny, please don't go in the hallway. Please, please, please. And then the zombie got her.
That's terrifying.
Yes. And so ever since I had that dream, it fucked me up inside. So I never really watched like Night of the Living Dead, all that shit. And then later on in life, like as I got older, I was kind of like, no, I'm not going to be scared of this shit. I'm going to watch it. And I finally watched Night of the Living Dead and I was like, okay, that was tolerable. And then I remember watching Dawn of the Dead, that remake they did.
Yeah.
That 2000s remake. That shit scared me hella bad for a little bit.
What about World War Z?
So I did finally watch World War Z, and I watched that maybe a few years after it came out. That shit was lame.
Okay.
And if I'm saying it's lame, then it's lame.
It's lame.
It's lame. Okay. I love Brad Pitt all day, but baby, you shouldn't have took that. You shouldn't have took that role. You shouldn't have took it. I don't care how much they was going to pay you. Sometimes
took
dignity.
The money, man.
I mean, I get it. You want to get paid, but have some dignity.
Okay. All right. Question number four.
Okay.
If you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
Okay. This is hella easy because I'm going to go for the stars. I want some beef ribs.
Ooh.
Because they're hard to find right now. Then I want some ramen. I want some sushi.
Damn, you're going full.
Yeah, I want a big ass tomahawk steak.
Oh,
because they pay for it. Yeah. Whatever you want, it's your last meal. I'm gonna eat even if I don't finish it. I want my last meal to start at 7 a.m. and give me to the time of death, because I'm gonna be full right before y'all.
What are you eating first? What are you eating last? What's first?
First,
I think first, I just want to. I would just grab that tomahawk steak and just like Fred Flintstone.
I'm eating the beef rib first.
Oh, the beef rib.
Yeah, I'm tearing that motherfucker up, and I'm ripping that bitch from the bone. Okay, I'm tearing it up, and then I would like an avocado smoothie because I love them, and a banh mi sandwich.
Yes,
because I gotta have one of them before I go.
Okay, man, you're gonna be full.
Yeah, I'm be hella full when they fry my ass up. Hopefully it's like Lethal Injection, so I could just be like seasoned up on the table, and I'm just like, fuck you guys, I'm a hex all of you and your generations
will
to
you
come.
Go out like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hexing people. Fuck that. If I gotta die, everybody else gotta suffer after me.
Okay. Okay. And last question. What's next for you? What's next? What's on the agenda?
Okay. So what's next for me is, now that we're going into fall season, I got some shows coming up that I'm really excited about. In September, next month, I'm doing Orange House Comedy, which is going to be so much fun. I've been wanting to do that for a minute. And then I got invited to do the Savage Henry Fest in October.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to be doing that in Eureka. So I'm pretty pumped about
that. That's always
shit.
A party every year.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know I like to party. So. Yeah. I can't wait for that. And then I just have a whole bunch of concerts and shit that I'm going to.
What's one of the concerts?
Next week, I'm going to go see Fulci at fucking Cafe Colonial. They're a metal band. They're pretty awesome. Let's see. And then after that, I have Cali Uchis is coming to town. I'm going to go see French Police. My guy Maro is doing a DJ set at fucking Lowbrow. And then I'm also going to Tyler, the Creator's... his festival that he brought back. It's called Camp Flognaw. I went some years prior, like maybe I want to say, was it 2015? No, that was too far back. Maybe 2018. I think it was 2018 when I went, and it was the funnest experience I've ever had. Like literally, I saw everybody you could think of, and it's just a mix of like indie rock artists and then hip hop and then underground rappers and then fucking indie fucking R&B singers. Like, it's so cool. And
where's that festival?
It's at the Dodger Stadium.
What?
in the parking lot.
Wow.
So I didn't realize, see, I don't be knowing about sports, and I don't like sports except the sports I do. I didn't know that the Dodger Stadium was so fucking big. I had no idea that parking lot is huge.
Yeah,
they throw festivals there because that's how big it is. Like, literally Camp Flognaw was like half of the whole stadium. They had like three or four stages set up. They had multiple merch like venues. They had all these booths where you could hang out. They had a DJ area, and then they had carnival rides there. Wow. Too. And like, you could be on the Ferris wheel.
Oh,
you're
that
watching,
would just be a crazy ass view of the city if you're on a Ferris wheel.
Right. Like, when I went, we saw Brockhampton on the Ferris wheel. Fucking the Hollywood sign is behind them. I'm like, this is amazing. The only thing that sucked that year was that there is that big ass fire in SoCal. Mm. So it was hella fucking like smoky out there. Like, people are out there in N95 masks. And when you could find them before the pandemic. But yeah, shit. That's what I'm gearing up for. So I love this time of year, especially going to shows and you know, getting wasted with friends. Ayy.
Hell yeah. That sounds like a plan.
Oh, yeah. And I'm also going to see Drake and 21 Savage with my mama.
Where are they going to be?
Vegas. Because nice. That's where I go and go see all the ratchet shit.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Thelonious, it was great chatting with you this morning.
Thank you for having me. I hope I...
Did we talk about everything you want to talk about?
I think so. Oh, no. We didn't talk about my podcast.
What? Tell us about your podcast.
Okay. Real quick. So this was actually a project that I was working on before the pandemic. And then while the pandemic was happening... I had lost my job and I had more time to really focus on it a little bit more. But I didn't get a chance to really release my project because my mental health got in the way. But now that my mental health is better, I'm trying to bring it back. I am starting a podcast. It's called F30. And it's basically life after 30 and how effed up it is.
All right. And do you know when that'll be launching?
I'm hoping to launch it by the end of the year before, probably after Christmas, because I like to take a break for Christmas. That's my favorite holiday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So
looking forward to
it. Look out for that F30 coming out there. I've already got a page set up, so I'll go ahead and share that so you guys can like the page and get ready for any updates that are going to come out. So
sweet. All right. Awesome. You want to smoke a joint, listen to some metal?
Fuck yeah. Let's see what you got, because I'm looking at your records. And
all right, let's do it.
I almost want to pull out that Tears for Fears record. But
we can put that on while we look for something.
I want to see what all you have first.
Okay.
Okay, right, cool.
Let's do it. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Bye.
Bye.